1 John chapter 1, considerations in drawing close to the Lord. 1 John is right at the end of the Bible, pretty much, just back a little bit from Revelation. And chapter 1, let's notice verse 1 as we'll read down through verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Here is the Apostle John, used of God to pen this letter. And as he writes, he says, we've seen him, the life. We've seen this one, the life, the true and living God. We handled him. We touched him. We saw the miracles. You see, John, who God used to pen these words, John, 2,000 years ago, he walked with Jesus. John saw Jesus. He saw Lazarus dead 4 days. He saw Jesus call them to move the stone away, and there Lazarus comes out. A mummy, you know, tied up with all tight woven cloth, and he comes out waddling, and Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." John says, "I saw that." Now, he didn't say that specifically in this passage, but John was there, and that's what he writes about. He says, "That which was from the beginning, the eternal God, that which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." John says, "I was there when he was nailed to the cross." John accounts of that in the gospel that bears his name. He saw the Lord Jesus nailed to the cross. He heard the things that he spoke. He saw the sky darkened in midday. And he saw the soldier pierce his side. He accounts of that. But you know what? John saw the risen Christ as well. And John writes and he says, "This is the one I want you to have fellowship with. This is the one I want you to know." You see, he writes in verse 4, notice what it says. "And these things write we unto you that your," read it with me, "that your joy may be full." You see, knowing Jesus is joyful. Knowing the Son of God and God the Son. Knowing that your sins are forgiven. Knowing Jesus. And so John says, "I'm writing because I want you to have fellowship with us. I want you to have fellowship with him." And so he writes on. Notice now, we'll read verse 5 and verse 6. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." But notice verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." You see, we can have fellowship with God. Now the problem is we have sin, right? We're all sinners. But God came to us. And we need to open our hearts to the Lord Jesus. There's a difference between just having fellowship, but first we need to get saved, right? We need to recognize we're a sinner and trust Jesus as our Savior and be saved. And then we can have fellowship in the relationship. It's kind of like a father and son. Okay, Mason, I'm looking for a father and a son, all right? Now, I'm the father, you're the son, okay? Think you can do that? Now, we have a relationship, right? A relationship. And a father and son intrinsically have that, right? But even though they have a relationship, sometimes the fellowship isn't that good. Sometimes the fellowship is kind of distanced. Not just because we're not together, but in physical, you know, sense, but because there's a problem between us. Now, on an earthly relationship between a father and son, it's certainly likely that there's things that need to be dealt with by both by the father and the son. But when we're talking about fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father, God is never in the wrong. It's always us who have done something that has broken the communion in the relationship. So first of all, we've got to have a relationship, right? If we haven't trusted Christ as our Savior, then we don't yet have a relationship. So we have to trust Christ as our Savior so we can have a relationship. But then inside salvation, as a child of God, a child and his Father, God the Father, we need to work on having good fellowship. And as we as the Son walk in obedience to God, and that's what we're talking about here, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we can have fellowship. If we walk in darkness, God's not walking in darkness. So it breaks fellowship. We aren't on good speaking terms with God. So look at that verse again, over here, verse 6. All right, verse 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. All right? So we can't walk in darkness. We can't walk in sinful things and have sweet communion with God, right? Because sin and God don't go together. We have to get the sin taken care of. And so that's what we're thinking about here. And notice this passage. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. You see, we all have things to get right, but we can get right with our Father. So, we've been talking about drawing closer to the Lord. That takes us to the first point that we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks now, or the last 2 weeks, I should say. This would be the third week. We saw that, first of all, we need to do away with hindrances. I mean, if we're going to draw close to the Lord, we can't walk in darkness, right? Because it hinders fellowship with God. And so, the Bible tells us, let's look at, it's on the screen there, John chapter 15, where Jesus gives an illustration of a vine, that the Father is the husbandman, Jesus is the vine. Notice what it says with me. John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. The Bible word there is purge, and I've used the word prune, okay? He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. So, I'm in Christ. God says there are some things that don't belong. God works in our life. As we trust Christ as our Savior, we have a lot that God is going to teach us and show us so that we can have sweet fellowship with God, so that we can walk in the light and not walk like we used to walk. You know, the things of the world, the ways of the world, God's not pleased with those things. He wants us to walk in the light so that we can have fellowship. So in 2018, if we are going to draw closer to the Lord, there's some things that we're going to have to draw away from, right? There's some things that don't fit. And so we talked about pruning. And I read you an article of a horticultural article about the benefits of pruning. Pruning a tree or a bush or whatever, it's for the health of the whole tree. And we saw that by pruning, a tree can be a lot more productive in bearing fruit. Pruning is very important. Very important to take away diseased limbs. Very important to cut off dead limbs and all those kind of things. And so pruning is very important for the health of the tree, for it to be a fruit-bearing tree. And you know what? For you and me to be a fruit-bearing Christian, there are some things that need to be pruned. And God helps us with that because he is the caretaker. And he loves us. And he knows just what needs to be pruned. And so recognize that in our lives, there are some things that need to be pruned. Some things that need to be taken away so that we can give the sap to the branches that are God-honoring, all right? So we can be a healthy Christian, a healthy tree, and that we can be close to the Lord. All right, so do away with hindrances. Let's notice the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2. You have it open there. Let's notice 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 15 is saying, I can't love both. I can't love the worldly things, the wicked things of this world, the sensual, sinful things. I can't love those and love God. The two are mutually exclusive. All right? And so here, I think this is a picture of Las Vegas. And that's, you know, we could choose many pictures. That doesn't mean everything in Las Vegas is wicked. But I'm just saying that seemed to be fitting maybe for loving not the world. And you know what? God calls us to love him with our whole heart. We can't love God and love sin. We can't love God and love things of this world, sinful things. And notice it goes on to say in verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, the walk with the Lord that is going to endure, the walk with the Lord that is eternally wonderful, is a close walk. And it's a walk in the light, not in darkness. So that brings us to the second point that we made. And that is this, that we need to direct aright our heart. Focus. All right, so we have the first one there was do away with hindrances. All right, if we're going to draw close to the Lord, there's some things that hinder that. There's some things that need to be pruned, and God helps us prune. The Holy Spirit helps his children to get things right and get things pruned. But focus. I need to direct my heart. You know, common society says, follow your heart, right? How many graduation speeches have you heard that at? Follow your heart, you know? That's contrary to what the Bible teaches. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. And wicked. We ought to be careful. But the Bible actually says that we are to guide our heart. We are to guide our heart. So notice what it says here in Proverbs 23, verse 19, a father speaking to his son. He says these words. Let's read it out loud, okay? Proverbs 23, 19. "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Guide thine heart. That's what we need to do. We need to guide our heart. And so we saw in the previous slide that we are to love not. right? Love not the world, right? There's some things we shouldn't love, but there's some things we should love. And so what's our focus? What's the focus of our life? Our focus should be loving God and serving God. Okay, so direct aright your heart. Let's notice also this next verse here. Out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let's read this one together as well, all right? Here we go. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Where are we to set our affection? On the things above, the things of God. Yeah. What is our affection? Our love. Our heart. Our love. So God says, don't love the world. He says, of course, he says a lot of other places, love to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he says to set our affection. You see, there's a choice. There's a choice of who we're going to love. And Noah's back over here again. Focus, right? What's our focus going to be? Say, I'm gonna love the Lord. I'm going to love his word. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to seek God. You see, I like to spend time with those who I love, right? I enjoy spending time with my wife. And why? Because I love her. And so I enjoy spending time. That's important. And so what is our focus with the Lord? Our focus must be not the things of this world, but the things of God. All right, so we need to guide our heart and set our affection. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. And then the Bible instructs us to keep our heart. Keep thy heart. Let's say this verse together, all right? The reference will say first, okay? Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Wow. See, not follow our heart, but keep our heart. Guard would be the idea here. Guard our heart. All right? Be very careful. Make sure you guard it from evil influences. And so that brings us to the third point. All right? So we've seen the importance of pruning. Some things don't belong, and God wants to prune them out. If we're going to draw close to the Lord, there's some things that need to be pruned. Do away with those hindrances. And then, secondly, we saw we need to direct our heart aright. Focus. Loving God. Doing what's right. Walking in the light. Direct our heart. But then we also see here that we can dwell at rest in him. Depend. All right? So we have pruning, focus, and dependence. Right? Pruning, focus, dependence. We can rest in God. Did you know that God loves us? Did you know that God is very powerful, but it was incorrect to describe him as a force? God is not just a higher power or a force. He's a person. He's a person who loves us. And here's a picture of an earthly father and his daughter, right? And they have a trusting, at least by the picture, okay, we can see. The idea here is dependence. The little girl looks like a sweet little girl. She depends on her father. There's trust in this relationship, as there should be in a healthy relationship with a parent. There should be that love and trust, all right? And so the Bible gives this this instruction to us in Proverbs 3. Okay, let's read that together. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. All right, here we go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You notice this verse here, this is kind of less common, verse 7, right? We don't hear that as much. Of course, verse 5 and 6 are pretty common. But the Bible says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord. That's reverence. Reverence the Lord and depart from evil. Some of those same principles we've talked about are reiterated there. And so we need to trust God. We need to turn away from evil. We need to reverence Him and trust Him. The Bible says, with all thine heart, verse 5. With all thine heart. You know, God doesn't want just half of our heart. In fact, if we only trust God with a little bit, we're really not depending on Him. That's distrust. You see, a split trust reveals a distrust. If I can't trust God completely, I'm distrusting Him entirely, really. And God says to trust me. And so if we're going to draw close to the Lord, a very important thing about a close walk with God is trust. You know, you can't have a close, you can't have a deep marriage without trust, right? You can't have a good relationship as a child and parent without trust. There has to be trust. Otherwise, the relationship doesn't go very far, right? And so God wants us to trust Him, to depend on Him. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, we can have peace in our life. If we draw close to the Lord, we can have peace because our mind is stayed on Him, on the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You see, this little girl trusts her father. Why? Her father is strong. Her father has been dependable, we would certainly hope. And so she can trust. Well, you know what? Every earthly father is a sinner. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father, He's never let us down. Our Heavenly Father is trustworthy through and through. And if we're going to draw close to the Lord, we have to grow in trust. I minister able to preach at the jail facility in Rugby every other week. I have been able to go up there and have Bible study with the men there, sometimes women as well. But you know what? If I saw one of those gentlemen, one of those inmates out, you know, say a few weeks later I had a Bible study and then I saw him in the community here, and now how much would I trust him? Well, that trust would have to grow over time, right? That trust would have to grow. Well, in our walk with the Lord, if we draw close to the Lord, we begin to trust Him, and that trust can grow, right? That trust can grow. But it starts with taking God at His word and taking steps of dependence upon God. In prayer, seeking Him. The Bible says, everything by prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 9. Let's go over there in our Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we have a problem, where do we go? We should go to the Lord. He should be our first resource, not our last. Man, we've tried everything else. I guess we should pray about it. No, that's the wrong mindset. The first mindset is pray about everything. Don't wait until there's a problem. Let's start the day with God. Let's have communion with God. throughout the day. Let's be in tune with God. You see, if we want to have a close relationship, we need to let Him take some things out of our life, do some pruning. We need to learn to direct our heart towards the things of God, set our affection on things above, and we need to dwell at rest in Him. Depend. Everything by prayer. You see, prayer isn't intended to be just some memorized phrases, you know, something we say at night that just, you know, we get used to saying. No, prayer is talking to your Father, your Heavenly Father. And so we can tell Him our heart. We can pour out our needs. We can tell Him our fears. We can seek Him for strength. Prayer, a relationship with the Lord, is enriched through trust, through dependence. And consider the conclusion here. As we consider drawing close to the Lord, what are things that need to be done away with that maybe God has spoken to us about? Maybe not even in this message, but just the Holy Spirit shows us things that don't belong. God calls us to walk in the light as He is in the light so we can have fellowship one with another. God calls us to direct aright our hearts. What is your focus? God says you can't serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. Some things are mutually exclusive. We need to serve God with our whole heart. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And number three, dwell at rest in Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 57, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Is your heart fixed? Have you opened it to the Lord? If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's the place to start. Recognize you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself, and you can call on Jesus to save you from your sin. He will cleanse you. But then as a Christian, as a child of God, it's important for us to nurture fellowship, to let God work in our heart and our life. And so we see that intimacy with God comes through dependence upon God. Dependence upon God. How is your fellowship with your Father, your Heavenly Father? God loves you. God gave Himself for us. God wants to have fellowship with us. These are important aspects of drawing closer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word and for the important instructions You've given to us today. Thank You that these are loving instructions, because You love us, because You desire to have fellowship with us. Lord, I pray that You'd work in each of our hearts, that we would give the Holy Spirit the liberty to do what He desires in our life, and help us to grow in trust to You more and more each day. Lord, I thank You for this. I love You. In Jesus' name, amen.